Well, here I am in the back studios in Altea, and hopefully I'll be on the line very shortly to Gary U.S. Bonds. This was his big hit. So let me make the dial and see what we come up with. Okay, we've got the line going.
Hello.
Hello, Gary U.S. Bonds, and this is Spain calling. Vince Tracy here from Altea.
Hello, Vince. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to make this interview with me.
Oh, my pleasure.
And you've probably heard we've been playing this. And I'm sure you realise that most of the people that come to live in Spain from the United Kingdom will know of your work, and of course that was a great hit for you. Can you tell us a little bit about, where that all came from, that particular idea for that song?
Quarter to Three was actually a song that was recorded by Daddy G in a Church Street Five before I recorded it. It was called A Night with Daddy G, an instrumental. But it wasn't doing that well on the charts over here. So one day we were sitting around the studio with me and Daddy G and the band and Frank Guida, the manager at the time, or the owner of the record company, decided that they wanted lyrics to it. So I went into another room there, and about 10 minutes later I came back with the those profound lyrics to Quarter to Three. And we recorded it right on the spot, and lo and behold, we got a big number one hit out of it.
Well, and of course, the thing is, I think they still describe it as the best atmosphere record from the 60s, don't they?
Yeah, that's not what they described it back then, though.
Well, I tell you something, I really only try to contact the people whose work I've really enjoyed, and certainly over a career as a DJ and working in the nightclubs and all this sort of thing. It's a song that did well for me as a DJ, and, you know, later in life you don't think for a second that you're actually going to make the contact with the person who's had the song. It's absolutely fabulous for me.
Oh, great, great. Glad to hear that, Ben.
Well, now, can I go to your early days? And I see you're based in Florida now. Is that where you have always been based?
No, I was actually born in Florida. I'm living in New York. I've been in New York now 44 years.
Oh, right, sorry.
Yeah, but I was born in Florida, in Jacksonville, now raised in Norfolk, Virginia. And when I got married, my wife made me come into New York with her, and that was probably one of the best moves I've made in my life.
And it's quite strange, really, because, you know, from what we see from Europe, it would appear that most people seem to want to go to the south rather than always go to the north.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the weather has its influences, but was it more of a move for music, or is it just the way the family developed?
Well, it was a move for music, mostly, because I moved north because I didn't need a suntan.
Right. Lovely. Oh, dear. Well, it's so nice, you know, because, like everybody else, I take an interest in the politics, and I take an interest in the history. Mm-hmm. But I was one of the fortunate people that, because I was involved in music, you know, I just like people. I just like music. I just like to talk to people, and I love to get the history of how the songs came about and your early days and all that sort of thing. When you were in school, did you think that you were going to emerge as one of the great singers from the 1960s?
No, I had no clue as to that was going to happen. I mean, of course, you always have that dream, you know, but I never thought it would happen, especially living down in Norfolk, Virginia. It was just a Navy town, you know. It didn't have anything to do with music at all. So when I finally got into this, which was a stroke of luck. You know, it totally took me by surprise, but I was very, very happy. And I'm glad that this is the only job I've ever had. I love that. I love going to work.
Well, I think that I think it comes over very clearly. I mean, I visited your website, and that certainly is bang up to date and vibrant, and it sounds a lively website the minute you get there.
Yeah.
So you've kept up to date with your technology, or at least had people that can help you do that.
Well, it's me and my daughter. She, you know, thank God for her. She knows about all these new fang-dangle things.
Well, I was very...
She helps me with them.
Well, I spoke to her last night, of course, and I think the minute she spoke, I could tell that, you know, she was enthusing about you, even in her voice, because sometimes you know that the people around you are so important, and she's obviously been a big part of your success, I would think, certainly the website side.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, she created the website itself, and somebody's taking over it now. But she created it. My wife and my daughter, they actually perform with me on stage.
Oh, lovely.
And they have been for years. So it's a whole family thing.
Brilliant.
And as soon as I teach that dog how to tap dance, I'm bringing him too.
Lovely. That song, by the way, Quarter to Three, appears on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 500 Songs That Shaped Rock and Roll list.
Yeah.
When you, you know, when you were starting off, I see that you already now have many different styles that you can be credited with. Were you a rock and roller or soul singer or country and western singer? Where would you have put yourself when you started?
Oh, my God. You know, Vince, I loved all forms of music. And like I said, living in Virginia, I know you may not be familiar with how it is here in the States, but back then we only had a couple of stations that I thought were good. And one was an R&B station, and the other one was the country station. And the reason why I liked both of those different styles of music was that they delivered a message, that songs are written with a message in mind. And instead of a doo-wah diddy-diddy, they actually... either got hit by a train or, you know, a dog bit them or something happened, you know, where you could link a story to. So that's what attracted me to that. And that's what I kind of incorporated in my style of learning how to sing.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I suddenly realized I was doing so many tributes to artists whose work I really, really enjoyed, that I thought, well, no, I'm going to get in touch with people. And I've been so lucky because, you know, people like Wanda Jackson, Brenda Lee, Chuck, Chubby Checker, yourself, you all seem so approachable. You know, I'm so pleased that when I've contacted the people whose work I've admired, you do seem just like nice, ordinary people who've had success. Now, what is the secret for your success?
Well, you know, I enjoy what I do, and when I go to work, like I say, some people go to work and they're a little grumpy. I'm as happy as I can be when I get to my job, you know, because I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to try to make other people have a good time, and it's just going to be a fun event for me. You know, it's kind of bad to have to go home and go to sleep.
Yes, I must admit, I get a bit like this myself. I love what I do, and I think of myself as being extremely fortunate. It took me a while to actually get the right situation, or the situation in the way that I want it to be.
Of course, yeah.
But when you were being influenced by various people, as we all are during our lives, who do you think has been a really big influence for you?
Oh, my greatest thrill was my greatest performer that I loved, first of all, was Clyde McFadden.
Oh, the Drifters, of course.
Yeah, and after that he was by himself. But then, you know, I mean, I had my other mentors, like Jackie Wilson was like great.
Oh, yes.
You know, and we became friends after I got my first record out. We went on tour together. And then I went on tour with Sam Cooke.
Oh, fabulous.
And then with the Drifters, that's where I met my friend, who's my dear friend to this day right now, is Benny King.
Oh, lovely.
And he was with them at the time. And those are the guys that I grew up with and I loved. And, of course, Aretha Franklin.
Oh, you know. Yes.
But let me tell you, I mean, I love some of the great ones, and I still do. I still listen to those records, you know?
Yes. I grew up a time in England where, you know, when discos were sort of in their infancy, and I used to play all those artists that you've mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we had the Motown sound that came over. We had the Philadelphia sound a bit later on. We had the funky sound, of course. All this is formative to me in my early days of what I enjoyed, and I used to listen to a station called the American Forces Network.
Oh yeah, sure.
So all these artists, you know, have just been so big a part in my life, and we'd wait really dying to get a new song out from each and every one of you all. When did you come to England at all?
Did I come to England?
Yeah, did you visit England?
Yes, I did, but I never got to Spain.
Ah,
I never got to Spain, and a friend of mine that lived there used to always write me, and we'd talk on the phone, and he'd tell me about it, and I go, I don't know, maybe they don't like me. I'd never get an offer to go there. But you remember Tommy Hunt?
Oh, yes, yes.
From the Flamingos.
Yes.
And him and I, we talked about it, but I never got a chance to get there.
Well, funny enough, Chubby Checker said exactly the same. He would love to come to Spain.
Okay.
We'll have to see if we can set a channel up, because we've had some great artists coming near to us here in Benidorm. Wanda Jackson was here last year.
Uh-huh.
James Brown, sadly, before he died, he was here.
Is that right?
We have our town, the nearest sort of big venue town is probably Benidorm.
Yeah.
And some of our concerts during the year have been absolutely amazing. Tom Jones was here last year, the Rolling Stones, as I say, James Brown, Elton John's been here. So I think the stage is set to get people like yourself to come. It's just probably some of the people might not be quite too sure who would like to come, and maybe it just needs somebody to try and act as a catalyst, because we've got the numbers now.
Well, put me on the list.
Okay. That would be lovely. Now, my city of origin that was nearest, actually, to where I was born was Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, I'm going to tell you about the Beatles and ask you your reflections of the Liverpool sound. Can you remember much about it?
Of course I can. Of course I can. In fact, I was just there. In fact, I was in Liverpool last year.
Wow.
And I also, we played the Cavern.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
Is this in the days of, you know, the big days in the 60s? Did you play the Cavern then?
I didn't play it back then, but I played it last year.
Okay. That's a tourist cavern. I have to tell you that the actual venue, the one that was the Cavern...
Yeah, it's no longer there.
Yeah, and it's quite funny because, you know, when I went back myself after many years, you know, you realise there's a number of caverns now.
Right.
Because you would have loved that place. That was an absolutely special place. And, of course, so many great memories of so many great artists. And, yes, I think you would really have liked that.
Oh, yeah. And of course, when I first started, they were... Well, I can't say they were the Beatles, but they, I think everybody but Ringo was there, and they were the backup band for me and Gene McDaniels and Johnny Burnett.
Oh, fantastic names.
Yeah, but that was before they became the Beatles.
Right.
They were the backup band. They were the house band, I guess you'd call it, for the American artists that came to London, which we were based out of, and then we changed bands every couple of weeks or something.
Yes. I hadn't realized till I started reading your profile that you had songs like Dear Lady Twist and Twist Twist Senora.
Yeah, sure.
So was that sort of, I suppose that would be the Chubby Checker type years that we remember, about 63, 64, something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
That's right. That's when the Twist thing was happening.
Yes, and
on that with the Caribbean kind of a twist thing.
Yeah, and then I think, if I've got this right, did you have a link on the website? Was it Little Steven I saw? There's Now, I remember one song only that I played as a DJ from Little Steven, and I know it was not the biggest hit in the UK, but it was a big one in the discos, in actual fact. And
is that right?
Yeah, it was one of those. I used to love getting hold of a song which was a little different, and just make it sort of unique to the places I was working at.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I found that quite an interesting link, and of course, it was interesting to me that you have some sort of a collaboration with him, don't you?
Well, yeah. Well, he was with when we in 81 and 82. When I did the Dedication album and the On the Line album with him and Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
They produced those two albums, hit albums for me.
Yeah.
And Stephen also wrote a couple of the songs on each one of those albums, and we still see each other.
Whoa.
We still see each other a lot. In fact, he's got his garage band show here in New York.
I also noticed that you've been nominated for the Country Music Association's Songwriter of the Year.
Yeah, oh, that was a long time ago. Yeah, we had a number one hit back then.
Did you which one was that?
Johnny Paycheck did my song, Friend Don't Take Her, She's All I Got.
Ah, right. Is that the guy that did Take This Job and Shove It?
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was.
And then 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, it was number one again, Tracy Byrd. Big country act recorded it again, and it became number one again. So,
well, it's funny because, you know, as a DJ, I love rock and roll, but I find myself drawn to an awful lot of these great country artists at the moment. There's some terrific artists at the moment.
Oh, yeah, great artists there.
And you also now an accomplished golfer. You've got to tell me about this.
Well, I used to be. It's gotten so bad now. I mean, I don't get a chance to get out as much. You've been working up a storm here, but yeah, I used to play pretty good. I was a scratch golfer at one point, and had a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah,
so, yeah. But then I stopped playing for 10 years. I didn't pick up a club, and I tell you, when I went back to retrieve my game again, it wasn't there anymore.
Yes.
So I've been struggling ever since. I've become the regular guy on the golf course now.
It's one of those games. You've got to keep going, haven't you?
You've got to keep going.
Okay. Now, what about your Long Island Music Hall of Fame? That was 2006. So it's fairly recently, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And I was talking with Wanda Jackson when we did the interview with Wanda, and she's got a later sort of induction into the Halls of Fame. So why has it taken so long to get somebody like yourself into that Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'd like for them to get along sooner, but maybe they're just too old.
Yeah, but you still go out and do the business, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And you obviously still got a kick out of doing the business, don't you?
Oh, of course I do, yeah. Yeah, we're sitting there now. I'm actually in the studio right now.
So you say your wife and your daughter both come on stage with you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about the act that you're currently going out with?
Well, it's just me and the Roadhouse Rockers. You know, there's five of us, seven of us in some cases, and then the two girls, and we get out and we rock.
Lovely.
That's it. We just, you know, we do a lot of the old stuff. And we do a lot of the new stuff. Of course, I have the new album that did good in 2005 and 6, the Back in 20 album, and that did good. So that's a lot of kind of blues-oriented R&B rock, you know?
Yes.
So we incorporate all the new stuff, the old stuff, and any other stuff we can find.
Yeah. Do you find it more difficult, though, these days to maybe to sort of learn the words and go through the whole thing with the new songs, or is that not a problem?
No, it's not. It really isn't, you know. Every now and then, I got so many doggone songs, and I tell my wife, I go, I don't think I can remember all of this crap. I might have to get me a teleprompter or something.
Lovely. Well, not a bad idea, actually.
No, it's not.
If I was to say, back you into a corner and say, look, give us your favorite all-time song, what would it be?
Of mine? Or?
Yes. Well, no, of any artist in the world, anything that you've ever heard, what would be your favorite, would you say?
I'd have Jackie Wilson had one called You Better Know It.
Oh, I don't know that one.
And also Benny King had one. I just heard Aretha Franklin do it on TV the other day. Don't Play That Song.
Oh, yes, I like that one.
And the way she does it, I love. I mean, I love the way he did it, too, but she had, well, you know, Aretha's got her own style, so
yes.
You can't take that away from her.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of songs. There's Guess Who I Love, and there's a song that Little Willie John did called Let Them Talk.
Ooh.
A ballad that that's one of my favorite, I guess, of all time.
Mm. Do you know what? You give me a couple of songs. I'll try and look those up because it's amazing. You just feel that you're beginning to know something about music, and then you've got a whole different way of looking at things. Either you know somebody you meet or somebody you've heard about for the first time, and then off you go again on your voyage, your discoveries.
Well, if you find that "Let Them Talk" by Little Willie John, you'll find a good song. In fact, we just recorded it.
Oh, right, okay.
So I did my... It won't be out right away, but I enjoyed it so much.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to try and find those. I'm going to finish by asking you, if you had one wish left in your life and something that you've always wanted to do, apart from coming to Spain, which we'll have to try and see what we can think of for that, what would it be? What would you do if you just had one wish left?
Well, yeah, I wish for everybody to have as much fun as I'm having right now.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, look, I do thank you once again for taking the trouble to make this call with me. And what I do is I make a podcast out of these, and it's available on the internet. So please feel free to visit my website, and just whatever is there that you like, please just use it.
Oh, thank you so much, Ben.
And thank you for your time and continued success. And let's go out by remembering this fabulous song. Thank you very much indeed, Gary.
You bet, buddy. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Keep nice and healthy.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so there he was, Gary U.S. Bonds, absolutely fabulous with this number one hit. I thought you know the people.